Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
So are we going to redo our theme song yet?
I got to do it. I just got to
say that. That's the only gripe I've ever read about.
Yeah, everyone just...
I've read about a couple things, but it seems that the theme song's universally hated. Except everyone likes the part where I go, elves with lasers
and tanks! Oh yeah. My stars!
Everyone seems to really like that.
And maybe I'll hunt down the old audio clip if I can find it somewhere.
And
just
the
it's saved.
And the Kings of War thing, too. Kings of War!
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Hey, everybody, welcome to Game Classy, recorded last minute.
You sound so miserable.
I am.
It's awesome.
Just so, in case anyone was wondering if anybody listens to Comic Book Logic, the reason why Comic Book Logic didn't post last week is because I've been so sick the last 2 weeks, I've been barely able to talk. This is the best my voice has sounded in
also,
about 2 weeks.
Also, it's kind of bullshit you won't let me choose God Hates Astronauts, because I have it in a hardback book.
I know.
I didn't know it was a webcomic. I bought it as a book.
I can't help it. I got standards, buddy.
Dude, it is one of the best comics I've ever read.
It's, you know, it's very derivative of Dr. McNinja and X-Cop.
It's fucking hilarious.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm sick and, so, just in case my voice decides to go out yet again, I brought along Pat.
Plus fucking Carl Winslow is in it.
I know. I brought Pat from Pat's Retro Video Game Reviews and Play On Podcast.
Hello, everybody.
He knows nothing about gaming, but he's always a kid.
I've picked up a few things here and there.
He went to Adepticon, so I kind of want to have him give his views of what happened at Adepticon, because he was actually there longer than Steve was this year.
I stopped at the shop and I got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I was the one at the convention saying, where is Steve?
Where's Steve? Anybody know where Steve is?
Where is he? Oh, that's him? No. Oh, that's him? No.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
There's a guy with a beard. There's an overweight guy with a beard and glasses. There's an overweight guy with a beard and glasses. There's an overweight guy with a beard and glasses. That's me, Pat. That's me. You're pointing at me. I'm not Steve. I'm Joe.
Well, I told the story on Play On. When I first got to the convention, I was meeting up with Joe. I didn't know where I was going, and I walked right into the main, what was that, the 40K tournament?
The team tournament hall.
And I went right to the projection screen that had the scores and the remaining time and everything, and I called Joe and I told him where I was at, and Joe kind of worked his way through the crowd and found me, and he was just like, man, you really kind of just walked right into the lion's den, didn't you?
It'd be funny if you went up to the, it's like, I'm looking for Joe. You guys know Joe?
That would have been awesome.
Actually, if he had saw, like, Wallach or Brian Carlson, they'd probably have been like, Canna? Oh, yeah, he's over there. God damn it, I used my last name.
Is there a Delanois here?
Is there a
Delanois?
No, Delanois did not show
I'm looking for Delanois! I have the image of Pat B. wandering around. No wallet. He's lost his glasses. He can't find anything. And he's just going, Delanois!
Knocking over figures.
Yes. Yes. Where are you, Delanois?
Oh, well, so I gave Steve charge of this podcast today, so he gets to choose the direction we get to go in, so...
Oh, we're going right into the toilet.
All right, so Steve, lay on McDuff.
I don't know, there's not really much going on.
What are you talking about? You got all the previews of Privateer Press's new game.
Whatever, dude, it's Convergence, like, who cares? Like, it's gonna be awesome, they're new and they're hot.
No, I'm not talking Conversion. I'm talking their deck building game.
Oh, the deck building game. We already talked about the deck building game.
I know, but it got previewed now.
Nah, I didn't see any of the preview stuff.
Well, it looks fucking badass.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I first saw the original part, I was like, oh, well, it's a Privateer Press boxed game, and all their card games are good, and they're using the War Machine license. Oh, it's going to be good. There's no real news to discuss about it. It's just like, it's coming. It's going to be good. Story over.
Well, we assuming that it's going to be good.
It's
going to
be good. It's straight up. I mean, there are the new Magic sets out, like that came out last week, I think.
Oh, did it now?
Yeah. So there's that, and people are already hunting the next Chase Mythic, which is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I know you have no idea what I'm talking about.
You're saying words
again.
Well,
they added a level of they added a level of rarity to Magic.
Yes.
Called Mythic Rare.
Ooh.
And
is that like ultra rare?
Well, sort of. It's Magic's version. Ultra rare is Yu-Gi-Oh. But alright, so let me just talk about levels of rarity. Yu-Gi-Oh! Has common...
You're just saying Yu-Gi-Oh! And it makes me laugh. Okay.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Has common, uncommon...
I just think of, like, little children.
Super rare.
Okay.
Ultra rare.
Okay.
Secret rare.
What?
Star rare.
Ooh.
Ghost rare.
What?
parallel rare, and I'm pretty sure there's at least three other rarity levels that I'm forgetting.
Are they, like, increasingly rare, rare, rare all the way through?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Like, secret rares are usually one every few boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ghost is one per case, but I don't actually know the ratios.
Is it, like, with Yu-Gi-Oh cards, do they have that system that, like, sports cards have, where you're guaranteed so many hits per pack or per box?
It's not... That's never a guarantee. That's always, like, a... That's their collation, like, what you should get with, like, a sports card. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the same way. Like, if you open a box of Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards, you should get, like, three super rares, two ultra rares, and then possibly a secret rare. Like, that's, like, the collation. Yeah. But sometimes you open boxes, and you get, like, double secret rares. Things like that.
For someone like Pat, I could put into perspective in like, terms of baseball cards, because you collect the baseball cards.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, do you remember baseball cards? Like, the rare cards would always be the cards that were actually valuable to you. So, like, you grew up in Minnesota, so I'm assuming, like, some Twins players would be, like, always hot to get. Like, when growing up in Chicago... Frank Thomas. Getting a Frank Thomas rookie card? Oh, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Who's Frank Thomas?
Exactly. He's a big hurt. He's big.
Is that anything like Bo Jackson? Bo knows.
Bo knows.
They did play on the same
same team together. I got both their autographs. But the...
aren't you cool?
They would... So the rarity of those cards would be based upon region more than anything. No, they never, like, made specific cards specifically rare in those, in like Tops or whatever.
Yeah.
But Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic go and specifically make cards rare.
The funny thing is, the way Joe's talking about sports cards, it's nothing like that anymore.
Yeah, it's nothing like that anymore. I'm saying when we were kids.
Yeah, when we were kids, yeah, for sure.
The
rare
sports cards are now hits, which are pieces of memorabilia or signatures.
Yeah, so like a piece of jersey or something like that.
So you get like three hits per box.
You're like, smells like Robin Ventura.
Yeah, you open a full box, you might get like a cut piece of hat or ball or some shit.
A piece of his balls.
Yeah, a piece of his balls. You know, it's balls that Frank Aaron has touched or whatever the fuck that guy's name was.
Frank Aaron.
Somebody, Steve. Some artist somewhere amongst the audience has got to draw up Frank Aaron.
Who the fuck is Frank Aaron?
It's Hank Aaron.
Oh, who's Hank Aaron? Is that like Daryl Strawberry?
Yeah, it is.
Daryl.
Daryl. He's a professional athlete. They get it all the time.
Yeah.
Devin Mattingly, I told you to shave those sideburns.
He was sniffing because of the cocaine that was dribbling out of his nose.
Fair enough.
Holy shit, we should never talk about sports on this podcast ever again. I'm ashamed we even did
that. What about sports clicks?
Actually, I wanted to talk about... I know this is weird that we bring it up, but did you know...
I'm not going to appreciate where this is going, am I?
Did you know that HeroClix is doing Lord of the Rings now?
Yeah, I knew that.
I had no idea they were doing
that. They got shit tons of licenses. They got the Star Trek license, they got Gears of War,
Street Fighter. I know...
I've got Street Fighter
here. I bought them for you.
Yeah, you did.
You're both terrible.
I know that we hate the Lord of the Rings game, and part of the reason we hate Lord of the Rings is because the figures are so fucking expensive for what you get. But if you get the HeroClix and the HeroClix Lord of the Rings, and they're super cheap because they're HeroClix, you can usually buy a box of them for next to nothing. Why don't you just use them for the game, and you'd actually have a decent game then?
If you played a HeroClix game instead of...
I'm saying you could play with the actual Lord of the Rings rules.
Oh, well, you might as well play with the HeroClix rules, because then you're getting better rules, too.
I've tried playing HeroClix once, and I was just like, this makes no sense. This wasn't meant to be.
If it didn't make sense to you, then the person wasn't explaining it right, because the first time you play that game, it feels like superheroes fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like, if they're showing it to you correctly, that game feels like superheroes fighting each other. It's like, alright, so Superman charges Solomon Grundy, and Grundy's got hurt. And now Grundy grabs this dump truck and hits Superman with it. You're like, that's fucking awesome!
No, like, that's... I'm not 12, and
Yet you love comic books.
I do love
and miniatures.
And miniatures.
I don't play it because I think the sculpts are atrocious, the paint jobs are atrocious, I don't like the rules, but it is a solid rule system.
I never thought that the sculpts were bad. I always thought that the paint jobs were just...
Some of those guys have giant motherfucking heads.
But the problem is that I really can't blame the paint jobs because there are slaves painting
them. It's like they got tips from the GW sculptors. It's like, this guy's fists have got to be as big as his head, and his head has got to be as big as his torso.
Oh, you want to know something that blew Pat's mind that I was telling about?
Oh, sure.
Painting in Sri Lanka. People who send their figures to Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah, the Sri Lankan paint factories.
What did you say? It's like, isn't that cheating?
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of cheating. Yeah, I mean,
you pay
if that's what the hobby, if that's a a huge component of the hobby is the painting.
It's not
to the point. Well, but to the point where they have like crystal brush.
To me, it is.
But that's crystal brush. It's a painting competition. If you
right,
I mean, there used to be Russian Golden Demon factories where like you'd send your figures to Russia. They'd like churn out high quality figures so you could enter them in Golden Demons as your work, and that's cheating.
Yeah, well, that's, obviously. Yeah.
But
obviously.
But a lot of miniatures games, the sole exception of the one that really counts is Games Workshop, because Games Workshop is the only miniatures gaming tournament where you're going to have to encounter soft scores. And this is why Games Workshop games will never be competitive, are not competitive, no matter how much the sweaty neckbeards want to call them competitive, they will never be competitive because you have a painting score where your opponent judges how well your army is painted. You have a sportsmanship score, quote unquote, which is how much of a dick you are in the game. You have a composition score, which is how cheesy your opponent's army is. And then there's the actual game score. The soft scores can tank you. So if I played you and I didn't have a good time because you kicked my ass, I could give you zeros. Or what I would... Actually, you don't want to go zeros because zeros require... You'd have to talk to the judge if you give him a zero. Right. But I could give you ones.
Yeah.
And then your soft scores at the computation at the end, you can't win the tournament anymore because I tanked you.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's why the games are not competitive.
Well, what I didn't like is I just thought that they're kind of like, they're blood figures, you know?
They're blood figures, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't... Well, I mean,
Sri Lankans, like, it's a lot of money for them.
Well, yeah. Sure it is, but...
Because, I mean, their prices are pretty expensive in, like, a vacuum. Because it's like, wow, $500 to paint this army, that's a lot of money. But if you look at the other painting options, $500 is dirt cheap.
Yeah, that's what Joe was telling me. And the fact that... Well, and what bothered me, I mean, I guess... It's just the fact that I immediately envisioned, like, a sweatshop.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
You know, oh, but Joe said there is a turnaround time that could be months before you get an army back.
Yeah,
you know, and also, I mean, that you paint a sample figure first and say, I want the rest of the army painted this way, and then you may not get that army painted the way you want.
I have used the Sri Lankans before, but what I do is I don't have them paint. I have them build. Because they used to have a deal where you could buy the stuff at discounted prices. They don't let you do it anymore. Workshop cracked down on it. But basically, I could buy the stuff at wholesale through the Sri Lankan guys because... they would be building the figures before they sent them to me. So it was basically kind of a loophole where I'm not buying the figures at wholesale cost. But what I am doing is I'm giving them the money for the figures at wholesale cost and paying them to build them. So they're shipping me completed figures.
Just so you know, Steve at that point had supported the Tamil Tigers and they're part of... He's single-handedly funded their rebellion.
What the fuck is a Tamil Tiger?
Why don't you just open up a Newsweek, man?
Yeah, isn't that Frank Aaron?
They're a goddamn terrorist organization.
Is that Frank Aaron? Does he lead the Tamil Tigers?
Why Sri Lanka, though? Why is that such a big thing in Sri Lanka? I mean, is there...
No, it's one dude. It's one dude who has a Sri Lankan group. It's not like a bunch. Okay. There's no fucking, like, workshop, paint jobs, sweatshops everywhere. And they're all grown adults who paint it.
The factories that do that for the HeroClix are all in China.
Yeah, that's all, like,
Singapore. Because I picture, like, a CNN reporter, you know...
No, these
international
guys,
reporter you don't, in front of a Games Workshop sweatshop field painting figures.
Not accurate.
Actually, if you're going to go to a Games Workshop sweatshop, you're going to go to the bunker because all those guys are just sweating like crazy.
So one day I'm going to have to go to the bunker.
And that's why the Games Workshop games will never be competitive, because they're tournament system.
Oh, you want to go to the bunker so I can do my typical, like, I painted that army, I painted that army, I painted that army.
Alan Hoisek painted a lot of those armies.
He painted one. It was he didn't even paint the whole army. No, he painted the ogre army.
And the wood elves. He did a bunch of wood elves.
No, I did all the wood elves.
They got rid of your wood elves.
No, those are all still there.
Did they?
Oh. Yeah. When was the last time you were in a bunker, sir?
I was at I was at Chicago like 2 weeks ago.
I was there yesterday.
I was picking up those fucking blood cannons.
The blood cannons you hate.
Fuck those things, dude. And of course they're like broke, dick, busted in the rules. They're like, they're move and shoot cannons.
That's because if the models suck... They have good rules. We've gone over this on this podcast 100 times.
Model's miserable.
100 times.
If I was going to do that,
Do you like my Kathleen Turner voice, by the way?
I don't know who Kathleen Turner is.
How do you not know who Kathleen Turner is?
The fuck is Kathleen Turner?
You don't know Joel Denial?
Is she related to Tina Turner?
Yes. They're sisters.
All right. Very good.
Big wheels keep on turning.
One's black and
one's keep on burning. Rolling.
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 Rolling down the river.
Rolling down the river.
See, that's why Game Classy is superior to play on.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about one of the iTunes reviews where the guy talked about that.
Best iTunes review ever. Have you seen that?
I don't see any of the iTunes
shit. Oh my god, the iTunes review was like... It's like, it's actually pretty... These guys got a lot of good information. If you can get past the sinking pop culture references and quotes,
Unfortunately, I could not.
That's amazing. Thank you, sir.
I mean, it's like, he rated us at 2 stars, but I was like, you know what? That's an honest review.
I like that. Yeah. That's good. Well, you know, sometimes the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you might not be right for some. That's a thing.
A man is born. Oh, yeah. He's a man of means.
Now, see, I like dropping off on the different strokes theme. Because I think it kind of like peters off.
Well, that's like, Alan Thicke. That was at the height of his Alan Thickness.
Alan Thickness.
That was the height of his thickness.
That's why I call my penis the Alan Thickness.
That's odd because I hear it's non-existent.
Your
old varus has been castrated.
Did you take the stem along with the roots?
Nice.
Have you been keeping up this season so far?
Absolutely. Yeah. I missed an episode. Yeah. So fucking good.
It is really good.
Boner jams every Sunday.
Yeah,
boners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw Iron Man 3 for the first time.
I saw Iron Man 3 yesterday.
Oh yeah,
I saw it in Pain and Gain.
Yeah. You enjoy it?
I liked both of them.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 was really cool. It was fun. It was fucking explosive. Lots of action. Totally over the top, which fit well, because I think if you went back to like the pacing of Iron Man 1 or 2 for the third one after having done the Avengers,
it wouldn't have worked.
I also liked that they kept the Avengers like a constant theme through the movie, like they're constantly referencing it, which is awesome, because it's like, oh yeah, that shit happened.
Yeah, it's like when the Avengers aren't on the screen, you should constantly be saying, hey, where are the Avengers?
Yeah, so I mean, I liked it a lot. I thought Extremis was a cool...
I never read Extremis, but...
It's good. It's good. They kind of... I guess I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to spoil it, but, like, they did a very good job of pulling the... Like, because in the comic... I'll spoil the comic. The comic was, like, he gets totally overpowered because he gets a, like, quantum nano suit injected into his body, which basically means that Iron Man has always got his Iron Man suit on.
What I thought... This one was supposed to go into.
This one does kind of, but I don't want to spoil it. They don't make him as ridiculous as in the comics, because in the comics it's like suddenly it's like Tony Stark's walking down the street and he's like, bam, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, it's similar but less powerful.
That's the way it should be. Just like, bam, Iron Man.
It'd be silly on film, but it worked really well. I loved it.
I really wish they would bring in Luke Cage.
Fuck Luke Cage. Unless it's played by Nick Cage, I don't care.
Nick Cage is playing Luke Cage.
Right, and they should change the character's canon name to Nick Cage. And then all the comic artists have to start drawing him like Nicolas Cage.
If only Nick Cage would wear the yellow V-neck shirt with the big afro, and he would say things like, sweet mamma jamma.
Yes, exactly. And like, and you make it Nicolas Cage playing him in blackface.
Oh, like that's too much.
Dude. No way, dude, it's Nick Cage.
All right,
he's got the power gauntlets.
Nick Cage could do blackface and whiteface. That's how good Nick Cage is.
Yeah, I think I said
You're mumbling.
I don't have a voice.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah, they just did your 2E.
2E, it's out now. There's the pre-release, then the general release is in 2 weeks.
Are you excited to get back to some Thaco?
Dude, my fucking boner is, like, piercing the bed right now.
Yeah.
It's actually touching the carpet beneath the bed.
Yeah, well, I told you, I have all those second-ed books.
Do you have Return to the Tomb of Horrors?
I don't have any of the... I have all of, like, the core books.
Oh, you don't have the modules?
I don't have the modules.
And then I care not for your peasantry.
Did I tell you about... I could tell this story on there. After C2E2, I ended up going to the
Little Horse.
Little Horse.
Little Horse.
Little Horse.
You say it right.
Sorry. And it was the last day of it. I ran up there just because they do a little flea market bullshit thing where people sell shit. And a guy there had a big box full of D&D books. And I was looking there, and they were like all third ed books.
That sucks.
Well, people still love third ed. And I went up there and they said
people like lots of shit.
He said $4 a book on there. I was like, oh, maybe I should just pick up the core set. He has it in there. Then he's just like, I don't want to take him home. Just whatever you want, $1 a book. I'm just like, I just grabbed the entire box full of the third ed books. And I was like, how much for this? And he's like, I'll give it to you for 15. So I give him $15. I have this giant box of third ed books. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But anyway. And then there was the box that you were talking about, the wizard box.
Oh, yeah. And you didn't, it wasn't the actual contents.
No, I opened it up and it's full of... First ed D&D, like the red book and the red, the
right.
green.
Right, what I'm saying, like, it's cool. The stuff you got in there is very cool.
Yeah.
But I would have been really disappointed if I opened it because I would have wanted the contents of the wizard cards.
Yeah, wizard cards.
I would have been like, fuck! This is awesome, but fuck!
Yeah, I would like to run a second ed D&D game.
I would run it.
Well, I mean, you would run it, but I would like to be a
character. Dude, I am in. Like, I am going to run some Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. The Reaper Bones figures are coming soon.
Yeah.
And I want to get a Chinese factory style going on where like everybody can paint some, do what they want with them.
Dun, 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 dun,
right. Well, they come. See, here's the thing.
Set it up with like a big bicycle like chain where it just like takes the figures and runs them past the brush.
Here's the thing that's awesome with Bones. And I was dicking around with some Bones not too long ago because I wanted to see.
You were done with dicking around with your bone.
Well, yeah. No, we were dicking. Oh. That's a different thing. Oh, okay. I was digging around with Bones, and because I wanted to see like how good they're gonna be, so I bought a few. I ended up reselling them at the place I bought them.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I got them strictly for research purposes. They're basically primed white.
He's like, why are you returning these? I only got them for research purposes.
I didn't return them. I sold them. But the figures are basically primed white.
I'm like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Dude, I'm just a researcher.
I'm leaving.
I'm out. You're out.
You mentioned The Big Bang Theory. You compare me to someone from The Big Bang Theory. I'm out.
Steve. Bazunga.
Bazambabu.
Actually, the...
Will Wheaton!
Actually, the newest episode of Big Bang Theory, they play Dungeons & Dragons.
Dude, Pepe, fuck you.
I saw it on TV, you know?
Fuck you, bro.
That's the only place it could have happened, but... yeah, they played D&D.
They play D&D in Community, and that's the only thing you need.
Yeah. Well, I saw that, but Big Bang Theory just recently got to D&D. Which actually led to Sheldon and his girlfriend having sex for the first time.
If I could, I would shit on every single actor who's ever been on The Big Bang Theory and every single writer who's ever had anything to do with it. I would actually like to shit in the mouth of the person who I came up with the idea for The Big Bang Theory. Like, actually just pin them down to a chair, just chain them to the chair, leave them there for a while, you know, kind of... Like, you know, put out cigarettes on them, just like...
See, the reason why I forgive Pat for this, and the only reason why I forgive Pat, is because Pat, he's not like us, in terms of, like, how like, we are the...
Antisocial grognard?
Yeah, exactly, neckbeards.
Pat's
a chin beard?
No, but I have a beef with Big Bang Theory. I mean, how many times do they make video game references that are just... The same old stuff that you can see on any message board. And the token Xbox 360 that's at the end of one of the characters' bed. He just has a 360 sitting on like a chest at the end of his bed. And it's just right there. Every time they film a scene in his room, it's just right there. But it's not hooked up to anything. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's not believable. Just because you put a 360 there doesn't mean like, oh yes, 360, yes.
You know, my favorite is like when you see them playing video games. I know we're talking a lot about a show that we hate. But you always see, this is just for anything.
Oh, I wrote an article for Game Crazy about this very topic.
When people play video games
on
this,
TV.
They're doing this. And this guy, I know, I could hear it picking up. They just do this, and I'm like, what are they doing? Are they just jumping against the wall?
The best is I saw the dude, it wasn't Big Bang Theory, it was a while ago, but they had GameCube controllers, and they were playing a PlayStation. And I'm like, who did that? Like, how did they pick the, did they just go into the prop room and go like, video game controller, video game system, obviously go together.
Yep.
Well, the thing is that when you think about...
Or empty Game Boy Advances. There's a kid playing Game Boy Advance and there's no game in it, and I was like, ah!
Yeah. Well, the thing is that bothers me about that is, like, the whole chain from the bottom up, no one stopped and said, hey, wait, this doesn't work. Because there's got to be at least one person that plays video games. I mean, like, Dungeons & Dragons, I mean, I guarantee you could go, like, you could probably meet, you know, 200 people without meeting one that played Dungeons & Dragons ever. But someone at least at some point had played a GameCube in a room of, like, 20 people.
Well, while we're on the topic of video games, I don't want to take up too much time, but I was...
It's all right, we got nothing else to talk about.
Well, because you guys were talking about Dungeons & Dragons, and I recently picked up Dungeons & Dragons Heroes for Xbox, original Xbox.
Ooh.
And started playing.
Isn't that just a mash fest? That's just a mash fest, right?
Yeah. It's actually... But it's fun, though. It is fun.
Yeah, I mean, those games are fun because they're fun. They're just mash fests, but I'm always disappointed when I see them because it's like, fuck, I wanted a role-playing game.
Well, yeah.
Like, I wanted a real D&D
game. It could be easily relabeled as any fantasy button masher arcade.
Yeah, like Dark Alliance and shit.
Yeah, easily. But,
Torchlight.
Yeah, but not a bad game. Picked it up at half-price books for a couple bucks.
I picked it your mom at half-price books for a couple bucks.
Hey, got a good trade.
So Bones are like pre-primed white.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the fastest way I could paint these and it won't look like dog shit?
To put in perspective, I played with them. They're not bad. I'm not a big fan. I still think that they need to be primed.
I'm a fan of them for speed and for role-playing.
Yeah, I know.
Because you can just, like...
We've talked about it before. I honestly don't think the paint takes as well as you say, but that's just me.
Well, I always hit them with a wash first, then paint, then wash.
Yeah. I mean, they need another layer of something on top of what they have. Yeah.
If you use the... They supposedly work really well with the Reaper Master Series.
Yeah.
But I mean...
I use the Reaper Master Series.
Master Series is the same as like P3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But regardless, they're super fast, they're super easy, they're great for D&D minis because... Spending a lot of time on a D&D mini, unless it's your personal player character, will never end well for you.
Yeah,
you'll be like, all right, I got the fucking necromancer. I custom built the model out of all these bits. It took me forever to paint it. I got all these like in-depth shadows on his cloak. And look, there's like a little galaxy spinning around on his back. He looks totally fucking sweet. This is going to be a giant encounter for the party. And you set him down. And you're like, all right, the necromancer appears. The party's like, I do this. I do this. I do that. I use this, 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 this. And it's just like, he's dead. We killed him. And I'm like, but my necromancer.
I always think back to the, did you ever see that redubbed Dungeons & Dragons cartoon?
No.
It was on the internet like a couple months ago. Where the guy, it's like they basically took the
Dungeon Master. Oh, yeah. It was like, fuck the Game Master.
It's like the Game Master's like, this is fucking Dungeon Master magic bullshit.
Yeah.
Again with that.
Tiamat, again? Yeah. Yes, I remember that. That was funny.
Tiamat, epic level character. Shows up every fucking episode. but that's like, if we play, can I get a little pet unicorn named Uni?
Absolutely not.
Come on.
There will be no shenanigans or chicanery in the game. If you make the game, if you try and make the game goofy, your character is dead.
Oh, so I can't be a halfling?
Flat out. Your character is fucking dead.
What if I be a halfling, Mr.
Well, what I would do, because you probably wouldn't want to commit to a full campaign.
No, I wouldn't. And I would just like a one-off or, you know.
What I would do is I'd probably run us through, I'd probably do the Tomb of Horrors.
Ooh.
With pre-gen characters.
Oh.
I mean, you could generate a character at level 9 if you were interested in doing that. Like, I don't really care.
His name is
a pre-gen or like just a higher level character.
His name is Samwise.
Because the Tomb of Horrors.
He's a hobbit.
The Tomb of Horrors is kind of the ultimate old school module.
The Tomb of Horrors.
Because Gary Gygax believed in like tournament style D&D.
Tournament style D&D.
No, he did. They ran D&D tournaments. And the way a D&D tournament works.
How would that. Even for me, I'm wondering how that.
Okay, it's really. Joe laughed, but it was huge. Like, D&D tournaments were a thing, and they were a big thing. But the way the D&D tournaments work is.
Excuse me, people.
You would have the DMs, like, say you have four DMs running games, they're all running the same dungeon or the same adventure. So, whatever it is, the challenge is the same. And the idea is, how good is your party? How fast can they get through? Can they find all the treasures? Can they all survive? So on and so forth. So, like. The issue with that, though, is, like, for a long time, you were allowed to bring your characters from home. Mm-hmm. Like, you just bring your character. And, like, so you could have your guy who the DM gave, like, a +9 flaming sword to with his Pegasus mount at level 3 and just be, like, totally munchkinized because, like, your game master, or you just cheated. My game master gave me this shit. Because there was no regulation, obviously. So that was the whole thing. It's like, how good is your party? Like, can you beat this campaign? Can you all survive? Can you find all the treasures? Can you avoid all the traps?
So you would advance as a team.
Yeah, it's a team. Oh, okay. That's why it's a tournament. Like, the team would go forth. And like, if your team completed it, it wasn't like a bracket system, obviously, but it's kind of like.
It'd be funny if it was a bracket system where you have to compete against other teams.
Yeah, well, the way it works, basically think of it like a time trial.
Team so like, Blood Raven versus Team, Unicorn.
Like, so Team Blood Raven completed the dungeon in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Like, that's the winning record currently. So if you can't beat the dungeon in that time limit, so that's what Gary Gygax was huge doing that at conventions.
Some guy was like, come on, guys, we have to do this quick.
Yeah.
He'd be like, fuck this, I gotta work in the morning.
Yeah, or they're like, oh, but we wanted to stop and go to see the wenches.
It's like, can't we just stop at the tavern and have beer?
So Gary Gygax made the Tomb of Horrors. And what the Tomb of Horrors is it's the most ball-crunching, like, dick-slapping adventure possible. And it was made specifically to fuck munchkins. Because there's so much shit in the dungeon that just kills you. Like, your character's dead. No saving throw.
Open up this door, gelatinous cube!
Well, that you'd be able to fight that or, like, save. Yeah. But it's things like, I'm not going to spoil it because I want to run the adventure for you guys, but things like you open a door and a bunch of darts fly at you.
Yeah.
The darts all do D6 poison damage.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to save versus the poison or die.
I roll dodge.
You save versus the poison or die. You roll your dice and it's like, what'd you roll, Joe? Oh, a 12? Character's dead. Flat out. Dead.
I got a magic shield.
there's cave-ins and shit. Like, you, like, fuck the... And basically...
It was 24 it hours, was,
the entire thing is designed to screw over the player who's kicking the door, grab everything, kill all the monsters. Because if you apply that mentality, you'll be dead before you make it into the dungeon. Mm. Just you'll just be dead. Because there's so many traps and so much... Like, basically, like, if you see, like, something suspicious and you're like, oh, I'm going to grab that. It's like, actually, it kills you. It's like, it melts you. There's no saving throw. It's like a disintegration ray. And you're like, fuck! My guy's dead!
Can't we just run something from Darkseid?
No. Absolutely.
Ravenloft?
So that...
Absolutely
not. So in this D&D tournament, then the final three teams would be put up on a stage... And screens would open up to reveal Super Mario Brothers 3. And Steam would come out.
Is it, are you talking about the wizard?
Yeah. And then they find the warp
fuck
whistle.
Fuck French,
they find the warp whistle even though no one else knew where the warp whistle was.
Warp whistle!
Warp! Oh, by the way, I'll tell you this because I'm... You know,
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Whatever, man. Just don't touch her with it. The,
Dude, Pippi, have you ever fingered a girl with a power glove on?
Well, not yet, but... Now I own a power glove. I suppose I should.
There you go, bro.
Yeah. Which, if that one particular girl is listening, then she knows who she is. She knows it's coming.
She's not listening to this.
No. I'll make sure she does.
That's fantastic.
Because she has a Facebook profile picture of her wearing the power glove. So
that's fantastic.
And actually, the fingering motion actually helps land jets in Top Gun. Just so you know.
Yeah. Actually, it would be finger insertion and be like, hang on, I gotta put in the code. Yeah, hold on to these sensor bars.
Konami code.
put these sensor bars by your head.
Nice. I subscribed to game collecting on Reddit, and some guy put up a fucking thing like, I got a copy of Double Dragon for $1.
I saw
and
that.
And it was just like, he's like, $1 for childhood memories? I'm like, yeah, childhood memories of a really shitty game. Fuck that.
Yeah, you were just ripping on Double Dragon
was a good game.
Double Dragon blows.
No.
It was a terrible game.
Did your friend always beat you up in it?
No.
Did he just beat your character's ass and
never
you were
never
upset?
Never liked the Double Dragon series.
The thing with the game collecting group, it's a solid group. There's some really good stuff on there, but a lot of the time it's dominated by people that find Pokemon for a Game Boy. Just like, look at what I found! And it's just Pokemon over and over and over again. Or a lot of it, I think, is, you know, people lie for, you know, the whole karma thing, but it's a lot. Found a box in my attic and it's filled with all these rare, valuable games. It's like, come on. You know.
Dude, my favorite is I found blank in my attic. It's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Actually, there's only one person who can say, I found anything in my attic, and it's me, because I got so much shit up in my attic. Yeah. It's like, hey, Steve, look what I found in my attic. 6 Earth Dragons from Legends of the Five Rings.
And my response would be probably the same as Reddit's. Fucking cares. Downvote.
your response would be smacking out of my hands and go, stop playing that game.
It's the classic, found this. Figured you guys would like it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You figured
give
that?
Give me karma, please.
A community yeah. built on
give me
this.
Give me karma,
would
please.
Like
karma, please.
Yeah. Yeah, you figured.
Well, that's
right.
You know, in the game in the tabletop gaming world, the only people who are really like that are board gamers. Board gamers can get kind of like that.
Fireball
like,
Island, baby.
Yeah, Fireball Island. What's the Crossfire?
Dark Tower.
Crossfire.
Mousetrap.
No.
I think you're thinking of crossbows and catapults.
I have crossbows and catapults.
Yeah, that's a great game.
I have 3 sets of crossbows and catapults.
Hero Quest
is another one.
That game
one.
Was the shit.
Yeah.
Battle Masters.
Yeah. I have my Battle Masters too at home.
That game's also the shit.
Yes. It's not really that good of a game.
Nah, it's fun.
It's fun because you got the giant mat that you put on the floor. That's the way the table that wargaming should be, where you have it on the floor, not on a fucking 6x4 table. No, that's bullshit.
I think wargaming is a little too expensive and pretentious to be played on the floor.
Exactly.
Nowadays.
Well, this is
I mean, Peter, it was good enough for Peter Cushing to play on the floor.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Not Peter Cushing, that's yeah, it was Peter
it was
Cushing.
Peter Cushing.
Yeah. Peter Cushing plays with his toys on the floor like some sort of savage.
Yeah, it was one of the Facebook comments. He's like, he plays with toy mans on the floor. What a savage.
But that's the way it should be played.
Fucking Peter Cushing, what a boss.
I think that the wargaming on top of a table actually came about because of the you know, micro-armor guys who can't bend down.
Well, there's
a
smaller
enough.
Scale, too. Because if you looked at the shit Peter Cushing was doing, those figures were huge.
Yeah, he's playing with 54 mils.
Yeah, big-ass dudes.
Yeah, he was...
I bet Peter Cushing was fucking savage, too.
Oh, he would...
He was like, put that down, you wanker.
Yeah, Peter Cushing would be like,
he'd be like sitting there painting his figure like while you're playing the game, and you're like trying to set things up, and he's just like, coherency, coherency.
You bloody savage.
Bloody savage.
He's like, I move my unit here. And you're like, and you suddenly realize, I can't win anymore. Peter Cushing is fucking great at this game.
I just got beat by Grand Moff Tarkin.
That wasn't cool, dude.
Well, you're not supposed to bring up
Grand Van Moff Helsing. Tarkin. Call him Van Helsing.
Okay. I'd still call him Grand Moff Tarkin.
Dude, fuck Star Wars. Hey. They're actually just, they were just playing X-Wing. And I walked by and I looked at them playing X-Wing. Well, the people who are in my apartment right now. I looked at them and I was just like, fuck Star Wars.
Dude, it's so huge.
I know. God, oh, you know what? There actually is a big Star piece of news. I don't think we talked about it.
With the new...
Battlefront bought Dust.
Oh, yeah. That is... We haven't talked about that yet. No, that's a new one. They didn't buy Dust. What is that, the Death Knell?
It's the Death Knell, baby!
Yeah. So anyway, you know, we talk in this podcast a lot about Dust. Dust is a really cool game that Fantasy Flight had the distribution rights for. Dust Studios actually creates and sells the game, but Fantasy Flight distributes it in the U.S., and they've always done a piss-poor job of promoting that game, because Fantasy Flight doesn't really put it out there for the world to see, and I don't think they did a really good job with it.
You got to get out, put yourself out for the world to see!
But
Pat B!
The Battlefront, the makers of our favorite game, Flames of War, took over distribution.
There aren't enough rivets on this tank!
Excuse me, your paint scheme for your Panzer Mark IV is actually wrong. They didn't have that in the North African campaign.
Dude, there's so many people sending us fucking Franco-Prussian shit now. It's hilarious. The best... Whoever did that... Alright, if you were listening, if you did that fucking James Franco-Prussian War Photoshop on the Osprey book, I love you. Yeah. I fucking love you. Like, that was... I laughed my fucking ass off when I saw that. I was like, oh, someone is so good!
The James Franco-Prussian War.
Yes, it was so fucking good.
That Kickstarter is so pathetic, too, because it's like, I only won 1,000 pounds, and it's like only like 24 pounds have been donated to it. They're good-looking figs, though. I'm not going to argue. They're a little hunched, but I'm not going to complain.
It's like what ladies say about your balls.
Yeah, little hunched.
A little hunched.
But yeah, so Battlefront, the makers of Flames of War, took over distribution for Dust Tactics and Dust Warfare. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I don't know.
It's probably going right up their ass.
It's weird, though, because the thing that Fantasy Flight gives you is they give you an into the board game stores. Automatically, you're going to get in because Fantasy
Flight... But the board game stores weren't buying Dust.
I know, but I'm saying is...
Nobody gives a fuck about Dust. The game is over. It's over. There's, like, a few people who do play.
It's over, man. It's over.
It's just... It was DOA, pretty much. Like, I mean, it actually sold pretty well when it first came out, but then...
But it's Fantasy Flight not promoting it enough, I think. They just didn't have the heart to do it. You know, it's not...
Well, that and their... Fantasy Flight's very reactive, because they produce so many titles.
Yeah.
If the title doesn't do well, they'll just print it every so often.
Well, I also think that Fantasy Flight is kind of iffy on stuff that's not actually their property. If they're just being distributing for the... They're just going to be like, well, this is it. There you go. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
But if they're promoting it, it's their own stuff like Star Wars, any of those games or anything.
They're going to Netrunner. Netrunner is crushing dicks left and right.
They're going to promote the shit out of it. Netrunner's got a new game coming out, too, that's set in that world. I think it's a board game.
There's already board games set in the world. There's two.
There's another one coming out.
All right.
I just point that out there.
Seems legit.
I don't know what the name of it is. I don't fucking care. It's all cyberpunk.
I don't know. The Netrunner stuff's awesome. Like, the actual Netrunner stuff's so good.
Unless it's...
Great game.
Unless it takes place with a 56K modem, I don't care.
That sounds like a fucking noise that an 80s cartoon sidekick would make.
Oh no, fellas! Darkmoor is escaping! He's going to bring up the doom to Eternia! You've got to save us!
Thanks, Burger Boo!
And I wake up in the morning.
Well, thanks, you've saved the day!
What's going on?
Main character just stabs a little sidekick and he's like, I heard these things were delicious. Let's fucking eat them.
Oh god, no! Don't eat me while I'm alive!
He's even better while he's alive!
Why would you do that?
It's awesome. See, I actually want to see, like, some disgruntled guy, like, slip shit into children's cartoons like that, like Gargamel eating a Smurf, just like biting into him.
Well, that's why I got the. I'm in season two of Adventure Time right now, where the where Finn gets abducted by the gnomes. And they're all Smurfs. Because they got the Papa Smurfs, got the red pants with the white beard. It made me laugh really hard. Because they don't even mention it throughout the entire episode.
Right.
It's just like, that's a funny reference.
I think you're getting close to the parts with the Lich. The Lich is fucking awesome.
It's
Ron Perlman.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just like the guy who was wearing the really kick-ass armor. The armor.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's got the boobs on it. It's like, that's a girl's armor.
It's good.
Yeah.
And then, have you seen Bill, the episode with Billy, right? He's the greatest warrior ever.
Oh, yes, Billy's the greatest warrior ever.
Right. All right, cool.
Anyway, back to gaming. Yeah, the battle, that was the big news of the gaming world, so to speak.
There's a few Kickstarters that nobody gives a shit about, and I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
there's Dead Zone. Dead Zone's actually...
We should talk about Dead Zone.
I kind of slipped up there. That Dead Zone's Kickstarter people but really give a shit about.
Before we get to Dead Zone really quick, it's just to put it up... Zombicide Season 2 actually, in terms of tabletop... In terms
it's
of
made the most.
Has surpassed Kingdom Death as making the most amount of money.
But it's Zombicide. I don't fucking care. That game is rubbish.
Actually, but you know what, though?
Zombicide, that's the game everybody was playing at Adepticon.
Yes.
We were actually surrounded... We were playing the DC deck building game. We were surrounded by people playing Zombicide.
Right. I'm sure you were. But as time and time again, popular games... do better because they're popular.
Yeah.
It's an actual fact. Like, popular games do better because they are, in fact, popular. So, if you learn how to play Zombicide, you go to a board gaming convention, there's going to be people playing it. So, you're drawn... It's a cause and effect.
Yeah.
You know, you're drawn to a popular game because more people are playing it, and more people play the game. It's also a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's part of the reason why...
40K is still around.
40K and Fantasy...
All I know is I was fearing their judgment, because when we were playing the DC game, of course, this is the first time I've ever played a deck-building game ever. And so the rules had to be explained to me, and Joe had to explain things to me, and...
I was also a little drunk, so I was getting a little on edge.
And your roommate was there, and he was explaining things to me, and I wanted to be like, just kind of... explain it quietly, because I don't want these other guys to hear them being explained to me, because I could just feel them just saying, you know,
just judging.
Guy, what the fuck is he doing?
Just judging. They're like, who the fuck is this guy? I bet he's never played with micro armor in his life.
Yeah.
I bet he hasn't even played with pico armor. pico armor.
I bet you he can't tell the difference between a Necron Immortal and a Necron Flayed
so
one.
Like, I don't dislike games because they're popular, which some people like to say, but that's just...
Dave.
That's just fucking annoying.
Steam does that.
There are games that I like or don't like. Their popularity has nothing to do with it. Like, yeah. I like War Machine. Very popular game.
I like
Netrunner. Super fucking popular.
Steve likes the tabletop equivalent of the big bicycle wheel with the little bike wheel in the back. That's the type of games that Steve likes.
Netrunner, also super popular.
It is.
I think that game is great. I think it's well designed. And then, like, even though I hate the Star Wars game... because it's Star Wars, I'm not going to argue that it's not a fun or well-designed game.
Yeah, the
it totally is.
I would not begrudge anybody for buying X-Wing. It's actually a pretty sweet
game. That's actually one thing I did not see.
And that game's popular as hell. So that's the thing. So everybody says that I don't like things because they're popular. Can eat Joe's dick.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
I didn't see any Star Wars.
There was a lot.
Was there really?
In the main hall.
Oh, okay. Right.
They just weren't around. There wasn't a lot of open play with it. There was a lot of guys who had some stuff specifically set up.
And there's also the Grognard, like, shunning of the pre-paint miniatures guys. They're just like, is that pre-painted?
I'm kind of in that thing. Like,
cast derision upon them.
I'm like, pre-painted? What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It takes half the fun out of the game. I'm playing with micro machines at this point.
Dude, I would play with micro machines.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, but you have to be able to do the speedy voice. Be like, and then here it comes around the corner.
Oh, no, Mike, I'm done with micro machines. I've told Joe about this. I've talked about it many times.
Wait, micro machines?
Are you talking about micro machines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little, toy cars.
I don't like them anymore.
What do you mean anymore? How recent did you stop playing with micro machines, sir?
Well, I mean, my love of micro machines has now come to an end. I look at them in a different light. Because they're connected with Galoob, and Galoob is connected with Codemasters, and Codemasters is connected with Comerica, and it's all those
people... Cramerica Industries?
Not Cramerica, Comerica. Oh. And it's all the third-party bootleg NES stuff that went on back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I really don't like them. When I found out that it eventually worked its way to Micro Machines and the Micro Machines video game, I stop liking my
commissions. Pat's kind of like the video game equivalent of a vegan, where he's just like, I won't have anything to do with it if it has eggs in it.
I don't understand why you would dislike Micro Machines because of the game. Because of the game
they're,
genie.
They're great and all.
Or why you would give a shit about people making bootleg NES games.
Well, because it's how they did it. And because it went to court, Nintendo constantly lost and had to pay money out for that.
Well, that's good.
No, it's not good.
That's good. That means that they were operating within... No. Look, this is America, sir. If you get away with things...
Not America, I know.
No, Steve. This isn't America. This is America.
Whatever.
Yeah.
This is America.
America.
And if you get away with it in court, and they give you money for getting away with it in court, oh, looks like you're the winner. So, see, in reality, you should hate Nintendo.
And
you should hate Nintendo for losing.
No, there's two things Americans love. One, it's a winner, and the second is Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
How are they gonna know I'm the biggest Dale Jr. fan now?
We gotta fucking... This is dude at work who fucking, like, loves NASCAR, and he also sucks. And,
I think that's kind of redundant to say.
Well, yeah. Oh, I mean, some people like NASCAR and don't totally suck.
I enjoy a race here and there.
But you totally suck, so we totally got that out of the way. But he did something fucking stupid, and they were like, hey, he's like, what do you think would be a fitting punishment for that guy? And I'm just like, I say we drag him out into the street naked, hog tie him, beat him in front of witnesses while we put all of his NASCAR memorabilia in a pile and set it on fire. and we just like imagine him going like, oh, my memorabilia! How are they going to know the number one NASCAR fan now? Not my Dale Jr. shirt! That's a catchphrase at work.
Have you ever been to my mother's house? Did I ever take you there? No.
Is it all like Dale Jr. commemorative plates?
If you go downstairs to my stepfather is huge NASCAR fan. Like
that's terrible. I'm sorry.
Whatever, man, that's your thing. You know, like, hey, man, whatever, you know.
There's more going on than just them going in a circle, you know?
Yeah, they're going left, and then there's another left, and then there's another left.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you're an asshole.
I'm saying you're wrong.
You gotta watch the road course races.
Well, that's what... But you go down there, and it's like he has an entire...
That's not NASCAR.
He has an entire room, like, dedicated to... Because, you know, it's weird that me and him don't get along, like... It's not that we don't get along.
Is it because he likes NASCAR so much?
But the weird thing is that we're very similar. He has a painting room, but all he does, like, where I'm painting little toy soldiers, he's painting NASCAR stock models. Like, and he sits there with the decals and all everything in the spray cans, and I'm just like, we should get along because our hobbies parallel so dangerously close, but yet... There's a gap so wide. So wide.
I'm the number one Dale Jr. fan.
Yeah, it's just like we'll sit there and he'll be like, oh yeah, are you using the Kolinsky sail brush for so on and so forth? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm just using this new decal transfers for my, you know, Dale Earnhardt, you know, commemorative. I'm just like, I just can't do it.
Jeff Gordon commemorative plates?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what he actually has a tire used on a NASCAR car in the room.
That's awesome. I think that's cool. I like that kind of stuff. Like physical stuff that was used, like.
But you don't like Micro Machines. You're all like NASCAR's good. Screw Micro Machines.
Hey, I had a huge collection of Micro Machines as a kid, and it pained me.
Look,
it pained me.
It is not
to shun Micro Machines.
It is not Micro Machines' fault that they knocked Nintendo's dick in the dirt repeatedly in court. You know, it's not their fault. It's Nintendo's fault.
I think it's partially because of the U.S. court's hatred of Japan during.
No,
the
this 80s. Is a discussion that we should have on play. I will have you on. We'll specifically this. I'll tell you. In detail, why I don't like Micro Machines so much, because it goes beyond just Micro Machines and being made by, you know, by Galoob and Galoob, you know, making the Game Genie. It's beyond that.
The fast talking guy actually molested Pat as a child.
He touched.
He's like, "Where did you take down your pants? And I'm gonna do your wiener, and I'm gonna put my feet."
Yeah, but it must have happened so fast. How much trauma can you have from like 2.3 seconds?
Well, it was more like I think I'm traumatized. I think I am. I'm pretty sure something happened.
Yeah, you're like maybe.
Yeah. I don't want to make light of it.
And first of all, Pat, I'm going to tell you, if you ever tell anybody about this, I'm going to kill your family and I'm going to kill you.
But I'll kill them first and you make you watch.
But no, it goes...
And then I'll fuck your cadaver extra hard.
No, it goes very deep. It goes very... fucking cadavers.
It goes very deep.
Yeah, it goes very deep. But I did a review on Micro Machines, and when I was doing that review, I started to hate them more and more. And I was just like, God, by the time I got done writing, I was like, fuck Micro Machines. So... Yeah, one day I'll play on mobile.
So we gotta go into a dead zone or whatever that's called. Danger zone.
Oh, dead zone. When you said
Lana,
you said danger
Lana,
zone.
Lana.
What?
Danger zone.
Danger zone. So good. Yeah, Dead Zone. Huge Kickstarter. Over 400K, which is almost the biggest that Mantic's done so far.
Yeah, Mantic. It's Mantic. It's the same guys who brought you Kings of War.
And Deadball.
And Dreadball. Dreadball.
The terrain looks phenomenal.
The terrain does. The terrain is the best part of that Kickstarter, in all honesty.
Well, I like the squids.
Yeah, I'm not. As I've said on this podcast before, more power to you, Mantic. I'm just not sold on your figures.
But you like the shitty Games Workshop sculpt.
That's because all Mantic is Mantic is a shitty approximation of shitty sculpts to begin with.
But they're much better than Games Workshop sculpts.
They're not.
Whatever you say, dog.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. Take your high elf fucking foot, chariots.
The foot. Has come down on that.
Take your fucking high elf bird chariots and shove them up your ass.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I got the headphones. I'm the only one with the headphones on. Make sure I got the levels right. No, the
revenge.
Now, I don't care if, you know, you want to use the figures. They're just not my cup of tea. I don't think the figures are well done enough for me to spend time to paint them. Like, they're the type of thing that if I was just like, well, I have to have an army because I...
That's
because
you still have so much residual Games Workshop Kool-Aid in your system. It just will not leave. It just keeps cycling through your body.
I don't know. But the thing is like... Well, the only army that I play for Workshop is Empire, and they don't make any sort of Empire figure, so there's no reason for me to do it. The Mantic, I don't mind it if you wanted to use it. The nice thing is that aside from like their guard and their orcs, they make their other 40k-ish armies are armies that don't actually exist in 40k. So if you want to do your
space dwarves,
space
those fucking figures are sweet. Figures are sweet. I don't know what your problem with that.
Or their space skaven. I don't think they're really that good. But I'm just saying, it's just me. But the terrain is amazing. The terrain is worth getting just for the terrain that they're putting out, is what I'm saying. They got a couple factory pieces, some like walkways and stuff like that. There's actually a
Sri Lankan paint bar.
Yeah, Sri Lankan paint bar. There's actually another Kickstarter that's going on. It's the laser cut wood terrain that people are putting out now. That looks really, really nice. They've gotten way better with that than they have been in the past. The laser cut wood terrain.
There was the Dwarven Forge too, the dungeon. That was badass.
Yeah, we talked about that one in the last podcast.
I know. I'm just saying, it was badass.
I'm just saying, I want to talk some more about that.
I want to talk about this wooden terrain. Wooden terrain is for squares.
So, I mean, how did you take a look? I know they just put up the rule set.
For Dead Zone?
For Dead Zone.
The rules are very cool.
Is it better than what they had before? Remember they had the weird rules for the 40k-ish game?
Warpath?
Yeah,
it's Warpath. Not, the game is not Warpath.
I know.
It's totally not. Different.
I know.
Yeah, they're totally different than Warpath's rules.
Okay, because I know Warpath was a little funky on the rules.
The thing about Warpath is there was one version of Warpath that was pretty all right.
For like skirmish
And then there was
games,
another version of Warpath that was really sketchy, and everyone's just like, So they're redoing Warpath from the ground up. Like, that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, like, the difference between what they're doing with Warpath, what they're doing now with Dead Zone, and what they did with Kings of War is Kings of War is almost a blatant... Warhammer Fantasy ripoff. I mean, almost plain. Like, all the armies that they're doing are generic fantasy armies that would go well into Warhammer Fantasy because it's a generic fantasy game.
Right.
You have dwarves, you have elves, you have orcs, you have all
right. That's why the Warhammer IP is always pretty fucking loose.
Yeah.
Because you can't really be like, they've got orcs in their game.
Yeah. So if you wanted to play Warhammer, I know you wouldn't necessarily want to play Warhammer
Fantasy. No, because the game's trash.
But let's say, yeah, like the millions of people who do love Warhammer Fantasy wanted to play and they didn't want to spend...
Whatever, bro. It's fourth place.
Oodles and oodles of money. Third place because Hordes and War Machine are the same game.
Listed differently.
Anyway, it's the same fucking game. It bugs the shit out of me.
Doesn't matter. They're different SKUs. Separate, bro.
Anyway, the...
Dominating the top five.
All the way down to the barcode SKU.
Dominating the top five. SKU.
But the... So if you do like playing, you know, dwarves and you don't want to spend $1,000 on your army, you could go buy the Kings of War stuff and make it really cheap.
And for the dwarves, although I really like... I'm a big proponent of Mantic. If you want to spend comparable money to Mantic, but a little more... And still less money in the Games Workshop, and get better looking figures than both.
Avatars go with
the Avatars of War dwarves, because
they're fucking
amazing.
Unbelievable.
They're so
even
good.
The Avatars of War Chaos stuff is really nice.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
Yeah,
that guy's figures are great. The problem is he can't. It's one dude doing all the sculpts, so like, there's only so much he can release.
And he's good.
He's very good.
The figures are a little on the big side. And when I say a little on the big side, I mean really big. They're like 32s. But the, I don't mind that, but the Kings of War is a rule set. I've been playing around with it because I'm doing a little Game of Thrones thing. And it's a decent rule set, but it's definitely a very, very, very generic army-based rule set. There's not much, difference
but in between there's everything. Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's all flavor. Now, this the Warpath thing is a little weird because it's not necessarily a proxy army. You can't, aside from the orcs and their guard, you can't really proxy one thing for the other. And even the guard you really can't proxy because the whole thing with guard is tanks and flyers, and they don't even make anything comparable to that.
Right.
So it's a little weird that they're doing it, but it's cool that they're making money off of it. It just goes to show that people do have an appetite for army-based games. Games around based around yep. huge units of figures.
And Workshop is slowly dying the cuts, 1,000 deaths.
Yeah, I mean, because there's no other games out there that are large-scale army fantasy and sci-fi games. There's just not. The closest you can get is War Machine, but even that's not that big.
A huge, a colossal army in War Machine is like 50 figures.
Yeah.
And that's a huge army.
And in 40K, a standard army is 50 figures.
If not more.
Yeah.
And then your 10 flyers and 3 tanks and dildos and space rocket anus monsters.
Hey.
Actually, I'd probably like 40K if it had space rocket anus monsters.
I was just about to say that. If there were flying dildos in 40K, you'd still be
or
playing.
If it had some panache. That game is just like fucking mongoloid. This is the fucking game.
Excuse me.
Oh, there we go. Technical difficulties.
All right.
The game has all the subtlety of a fucking, electrified mace.
It does. I'm not saying it's that subtle.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just like, bleh!
I'm just,
Me workshop, me smash!
The thing that...
How about some panache or some style?
Some fanciness?
There's nothing there.
Yeah. I'm just not gonna defend it. My throat's hurting me too much at this point.
Yes! Yes!
Not that I even play 40K. Or I will ever play another sci-fi game. I just don't have the effort to play a sci-fi game. I look at them, I go,
what about Firestorm Armada?
Firestorm Armada? Oh, well, that's not really a sci-fi game. That's a boat game.
It is a boat game. All the Firestorm stuff's gone from Games Plus?
I heard they're done with it. The game is pretty much dead as is, and Uncharted Seas is the same way. Everything's all dystopian wars now. They're just like, this is where we're putting all of our money.
That's true.
They just released the League of Italian States for and Australia.
This is all Pepe's fault.
I blame Pepe.
The League of Italian States?
Yeah, the League of Italian States is your fault, Pepe.
And China. The Chinese
Federation. Way to ruin it. Way to ruin miniatures gaming for us all.
Yeah, I still think...
You thought Games Workshop could do it, but you beat them to the punch.
I think Dystopian Legions actually could take army scale. If people actually played it, no one plays it, but...
Nope.
That's because, once again, Spartan Games just does not
promote... Dog shit rule sets.
They do, but they don't promote... They're a strictly UK gaming...
And they have dog shit rule sets, which you can get away with in the UK, because they don't care about good rules.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is, like, there was no Spartan presence at Adepticon. There was some people who were playing Firestorm Armada, and the ships looked actually really nice. But they, if someone, a rep had gone over and, set up stuff for demos and stuff like that, they could have probably done really well, but no one did anything because they don't give a shit. They're a strictly UK gaming company.
Well, they're kind of a boutique company as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're willing to let themselves be kind of a little corner.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not really weird. I mean, they have a business model that they like, and they're sticking to it.
Yeah, I guess. They must be doing well, because...
Not everyone shares your massive greed, Joe.
I know. Greed is good, Steve.
Greed is good if you're greedy.
The first prize of this...
That's just capitalism, man. Yeah. What are you, a freedom hater?
You hate our freedoms. Thanks, Obama.
The first prize in the sales contest in Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize, you're getting fired. That's Glengarry.
Why wouldn't you come in fourth place, then?
Glengarry Glenn Ross reference.
Yeah, but I mean, why wouldn't you just make sure that you come in last place?
Coffee is for closers, Steve. Don't touch that fucking coffee. You see this watch?
This watch? What the fuck are you talking about?
You've never seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
No.
Great fucking movie.
Some of the greatest movie lines ever spoken in a movie. It's great.
It sounds terrible.
No, it's good.
You know what? We can't say that because Steve is the guy who's like, fuck The Godfather. I don't know why people like that movie.
Godfather is a piece of shit. Movie's a piece of shit.
Apocalypse Now, more like Apocalypse Shit.
Dude, Apocalypse Now is so bad.
See the top 10 movies of all time? Yeah, they're all shit.
Yeah.
They're not all shit, just some of them. Apocalypse Now it's a good opening, and then that movie just grinds to this screeching, slow crawl, boring shit fest of diarrhea.
Yeah, you know, dude, where's my car? Dude, where's my car? Yeah, that's a good movie.
See, that's the thing, though. You have to make things up because my arguments are good. My arguments are good and valid, and you can't actually defend them. You can only come from a pretentious movie world of
Apocalypse
like,
now,
this film is good because everyone says it's good.
No, Apocalypse
that's all
now
you
is
have.
Good. Thin Red Line is bad.
Yeah.
But see,
I'm not going to argue that.
But that's
Terrence
all.
Malick can
but that's all either of you have. You have the, it's good because people say it's good. You don't have actual arguments.
Then, but the thing is that my argument, I go to like cinematography, you're like, cinematography's bullshit. I go into music. Music's bullshit.
Cinematography's not bullshit.
No, do you know how many times, because I don't follow that whole argument where people say, oh, I like it because everyone else says it's good. Nobody ever I love Big Trouble in Little China.
Nobody ever says that.
Shit on me for it.
Big Trouble in Little China is a fucking phenomenal film.
I was
going
to say,
we agree on it, but hardly anyone else does.
But that's because people's taste is shit.
I text you every time that's on TV like that.
But the thing
TBS,
is, the thing is if shit tons of people had already agreed that movie was good, there'd be more people agreeing it was good because they wouldn't want to feel left out.
Yeah, sure.
And that's the mob mentality.
Steve, tell me, what's one of the top movies that you like?
Like a classic film or
a newer
movie?
Let's say a classic one.
For a Few Dollars More.
Okay,
that's a great classic
western. Okay, no one will doubt you. Everyone likes that movie.
It's a great classic western.
Okay.
Not Fistful of Dollars. Few Dollars More. I mean, Fistful of Dollars is good, too.
Yeah.
Few Dollars More, I think.
Okay, what's one that you think is underrated? That
another classic film?
Yeah. That people should say is better.
Poseidon Adventure.
Shelley Winters. Shelley Winters, like, I might be fat now, but I'm a swan on the water. Or whatever she says.
Yeah.
It's like Ernest Borgnine.
It's some of his finest work.
A lot of the classic films I'm thinking of now are most people like them. Like, you know, like the Hitchcock stuff, like Vertigo. And
yeah, no one's gonna. Then, no, if someone has said that like Vertigo's a shitty movie, I'd punch them in the
balls. Like, that movie's excellent.
Well, and you have movies like Towering Inferno and stuff like that.
OJ?
Yeah.
OJ?
The Juice?
Isn't a... Oh, fuck, I don't know. Anyway, we're at the end of our hour, so...
Oh, The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, everyone likes The Maltese Falcon.
Well, I don't fucking know, dude.
Who doesn't? The Maltese Falcon, that's considered like classic cinema.
Yeah, all right, well, I'm trying to come up with ideas, bro.
What's your stance on Interspace?
that movie's terrible.
Is it the one where they shrink the guy down and shoot him into a body?
Yeah.
I think that film was important for the fact that it gave them one of the biggest sci-fi tropes ever, getting shrunk down inside of a body. The Fantastic Journey did that first.
Yeah. But Interspace was with Dennis Quaid.
Interspace just had a much cooler ship. And in the early 90s and late 80s, it was all about the technology.
Who was the woman in that one? Was that Melanie Griffith?
No, it was Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan, thank you.
Yeah.
It was Meg Ryan, because that's, he goes in and then they kiss, he finds out that she's
and
pregnant.
And then they switch.
And like, perfect example, like, the reason that, like, Godfather is made worse by the fact that films like Casino and Goodfellas exist. Sorry, bro. I got facts, baby.
It's a Shakespearean epic. The, I won't go...
Shakespeare. What a douche. Shakespeare, if you're listening, fight me IRL, bro.
IRL, come at me. All right, Steve.
Dost thou even hoist?
Oh, I guess you could say Shakespeare was hoisted by his own petard in that argument.
That's so great.
So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. Pat really likes my Game of Thrones articles, so
they do well. They're good
and
articles.
So he spoke, and so he spoke. That Lord of Castamere. Now the rains weep o'er his hall.
But you know, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Wait, you don't watch
Game of Thrones?
No,
I'm going to fuck your mouth.
Hold on, Steve. Since I got the voice, let me do a little bit of the national. And so it goes. The problem.
You still sound the same.
Yeah. You sound like Kathleen Turner singing.
Nice.
Hang on, I gotta fuck Pat B's mouth right now. You can make the Pac-Man noise if you think that'll let you accept it better. Here comes Pinky!
Go to Planet Arbitrary. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Class. You can follow Pat at Pat's Bees Video Game Reviews.
You don't even know that Play On is called Play On for the longest time. It's at Pat's Game Reviews.
At Pat's Game Reviews. And you can also...
At Play On Podcast as well.
At Play On Podcast
at
as well.
At Play On Podcast. Thanks, you could listen to our sister podcast, the Play On Podcast, where they talk about video games.
They mostly just talk about how much they love Call of Duty. No. I want to play Duty!
Pat basically goes, you know what's good? Games with vector graphics. That's
they are.
If you like vector graphics.
Hey, Anthony was messaging me for tips on Dark Souls.
Yeah.
He's giving it another shot. He's giving another an honest go ahead.
It's funny because Joe doesn't know anything about video games. Yeah. So he tried to make a funny joke, but he was totally off.
I'm going to pay $50 for a video game that's hard. Why do that? It's stupid.
No. Fuck challenge.
Yeah. I don't want any challenge in my life.
Dude, you got...
My challenge is real life. Dude, getting through that on a daily basis. That's my challenge.
Dude, you got Hello Kitty Island Adventure to keep you company. That's all you need.
Yeah. Masturbate that shit. Anyway, you listen to it. You got also, we got Vinyl Exams came out. We're gonna get a new episode's gonna be going out next week.
The fuck is Vinyl Exams?
Talk about music.
Do you not plan an arbitrary room?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't at all.
Unless I'm harassing one of you guys online, I don't fucking bother.
You should check out my review on Raiden 3.
I usually look at your reviews, but I usually read like a quarter of them, and then I'm just like, eh.
TLDR.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So anyways,
they're entertaining, but like it's just I don't give a shit about it. It's like
Steve,
that's what my wife says.
Until next week.
My memorabilia.
I don't let anybody know I'm the biggest Dale Earnhardt fan.